under the primacy of the Pope. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the Internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio, keeping you connected to your faith and your world, produced by Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tamio.
And it's Ave Maria Radio and Catholic Connection live from Rome, Italy. That's right, we are here at the EWTN headquarters. Thanks to all of our friends here, Alan, and also to David from Catholic News Agency, who helped me get set up. And then, of course, Elena Rodriguez back at EWTN, who filled me in on all the connections here. And so here we are. It's a gorgeous day in Rome. It is 2 o'clock Roman time, 8 o'clock your time, of course. And as far as our forecast here, well, I'm looking out the window along the Borgo, actually near the Borgo, I should say, right around the corner from the Borgo Pio, and it's about 75 degrees and extremely sunny and very, very nice. Now, we arrived, referring to myself, Janet Miranda, and Father Frank Pavone, we arrived on Friday morning, and we actually got off to a very, very fast and exciting start. Literally just ran to our place of temporary residence, which is a little apartment in the Trastevere section. Freshened up for about 5 minutes, and then Father whisked us off to some meetings with the Pontifical Council for the Family and also the Academy for Life. So that was a very nice afternoon. Got to meet the bishops from those academies and councils, and we'll be meeting up with them again later in the week as they'll be part of our dinner guests. We're inviting them to dinner, and they're also going to be speaking. And then over the weekend, well, Saturday was just pretty much a day of unpacking, relaxing, having a little bit of a meeting, talking about the upcoming pilgrimage. We have 150 pilgrims who should be at the hotel right now. The hotel is about 10 minutes away from the Vatican down the Aurelia. And we have 50 pilgrims staying in our hotel, the Melia, and then another 100 or so staying at the Urgife, which is around the corner. So very excited about this trip. We are doing all kinds of interesting things. We are here because of the Gospel of Life pilgrimage. And there is actually a Gospel of Life event coming up officially with the church. And there's going to be all kinds of talks and conferences. And then toward the weekend, the Holy Father is going to get involved. There's going to be a candlelight vigil from Castel San Angelo up the Conciliazione, the Via della Conciliazione, which is the main avenue leading up to St. Peter's Square. And then there is also going to be a special mass on Sunday. Now, the pilgrims have the option, if they choose, to go to the audience tomorrow. And then while I'm here doing the radio program, which I'll be doing every day, as a matter of fact, they will be tooling around and going to see the major basilicas and hearing talks from some of our presenters and our speakers. So always a blessing to be here in Rome, and very excited to be able to go live now from this location. And I also want to thank Steve Ray and Corporate Travel. Steve, of course, is our main pilgrimage leader. And Footprints of God Pilgrimages and Corporate Travel and Teresa Tamio Communications all pulled our resources and decided to invest in some new equipment, which would allow me to go live, God willing, from anywhere in the world as long as I have the Internet. So I wanted to do it from the main location of the EWTN Rome Bureau because I knew there would be some good tech people on hand to help me if anything went wrong, because sometimes I can be very much technologically challenged. So we're here. We're having a great time. We met up with St. Gianna Bretamola's family. We went to Milan yesterday. Janet Moran will be along in the National Hour to share our thoughts on that. In the meantime, let me give you the rundown. I'm just so excited that all the equipment is working, except, of course, for my email. All of a sudden, I'm blocked out of my email. Something has to go wrong, right? So, but anyway, our special radio equipment is working, so that's the good news. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be chatting with Carol Parr. She is an author from the Midwest who's just released a very interesting book that's getting rave reviews called Stories, very highly praised by Vicki Thorne, our friend from Project Rachel, and also another radio pal of mine, Ted Allen, who is in Wisconsin and says, T, you need to get her on the air. This is a really good book. So she's coming on at about 8:35. And then in the National Hour, after we do a quick newscast, I'm going to check in with Janet Miranda from Priest for Life in Sault Namur, who's my co-host on this trip. And then we're also going to be chatting with Matt Frod, who is an apologist and a Catholic speaker, talking about the important role of fathers. Of course, Father's Day coming up this weekend, and so we'll talk with Matt about what he's seeing out there in terms of men with whom he meets on the speaking circuit, and what are some of the issues that are facing men, including, of course, pornography addiction, family issues, understanding the faith and embracing the faith, and really embracing the role of fatherhood. Then we'll wrap up a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection with John Berheny from the Catholic Medical Association. We'll find out the latest from them. So it should be a really good morning. And if you have any questions, of course, phone number is the same, 877-573-7825. And I have a special treat that's coming up for you. I think you're going to enjoy it. At 8:15, my young friend John Hale, I should say John Hale Jr., or Johnny as we like to call him, he's the son of John Hale from Corporate Travel, and he has the experience of a lifetime. He's actually spending the next 2 weeks, I believe, with the family of the head of the Swiss Guard. I'm not kidding you. And so far, according to Johnny, we met him for Pranzo, he's gotten extremely close to the Holy Father. We'll get the latest on that as well. So let's take a look at our news on this Tuesday, June 11, 2013. Once again, it's Ave Maria Radio live from Rome. Teresa Tomeo, Catholic Connection. Let's check the news and see what's happening in and around the world on a Tuesday. Well, there's a new nationwide caucus seeking to organize and recruit pro-life women to run for political office and pass legislation that will defend human life from the moment of conception until natural death. The head of the Pro-Life Women's Conference, Senator Debbie Fisher from Nebraska, says she's excited to support the National Pro-Life Women's Caucus as it builds up the next generation of pro-life women leaders. She says we need strong, articulate women in D.C. and across state legislatures who will boldly support policies that, of course, respect and promote life. The creation of the caucus, announced yesterday by the Susan B. Anthony Listen organization, of course, that comes on our show regularly. As a matter of fact, the head of it, Marjorie Dannenfelser, was on last week. And it's an organization, of course, that supports pro-life women in pursuing political office. President Obama is stepping into the debate over the Senate immigration reform bill. A White House official saying Obama will deliver his first public speech on the bill today. Meanwhile, the Senate is set to vote today on a motion to rule out filibusters during debate on the bipartisan bill. And former Congressman Ron Paul is praising NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden.
For somebody to tell the American people the truth is a heroic effort, and he knows that it's very risky.
And Paul telling CNN's Piers Morgan Live that President Obama should send Snowden a thank you note for making the administration more transparent. Paul says Snowden has done a great service by telling the truth. Snowden blew the whistle recently on a secret government surveillance program that monitored phone and internet traffic. The reporter who broke the story about the NSA spying program, meanwhile, is keeping his lips sealed about his whereabouts and the whereabouts, of course, of whistleblower Edward Snowden.
I know where he is. Generally, I'm not going to talk about where he is, either in general or specifically. He's a source, and I'm not going to disclose information about his whereabouts. He's perfectly capable of doing that himself if he wants to.
That's Glenn Greenwald with Britain's Guardian newspaper, who says Snowden told him he knew he had no good options after coming forward. He apparently fled to Hong Kong after providing documents to the Guardian and has since dropped out of sight. Federal authorities are working to file charges against him. Severe weather slamming parts of the East Coast last night, canceling flights and bringing heavy rain, flooding, and even a report of a tornado to the region. According to the emergency management officials, a tornado was spotted in the Howard County, Maryland area. Homeowner David Davidson says the twister destroyed his garage.
And we could clearly see the shingles and stuff up in the sky twirling around, you know, the circular pattern. And then it just left as quick as it came. As soon as the storm cleared, I opened the house garage door. That's when I noticed there's no garage anymore out here.
There were no injuries reported. Widespread flooding was reported across the D.C. area as well, and numerous roadways were shut down for high water and downed trees. As for air traffic, close to 650 flights, that's never fun, have been canceled nationwide by late last night. In Texas, a military judge expected to rule today on the Fort Hood shooting suspect's request to delay the start of his case in court, his trial. Major Nadal Hassan wants a three-month delay in his trial on 13 counts of premeditated murder and 32 counts of attempted murder. He's accused in the November 2009 shooting spree at the sprawling Army base in Texas. He could be sentenced to death if he's found guilty. And a grand jury is being convened to investigate last week's deadly building collapse in Philadelphia. So far, only an excavator has been charged for operating the heavy equipment under the influence. The jury will have to decide whether charges should be brought against anyone else involved. Six people were killed in the collapse, and now six lawsuits have been filed against the building's owner and the contractor hired to demolish the building. The city of Philadelphia is also launching its own separate investigation. And a bill has been introduced into the New Jersey State Senate that would allow police officers to go through cell phones at the scene of a crash. Drivers telling Scott Springle they don't like that plan at all.
The bill would allow officers arriving at the scene of an accident to immediately check your cell phone without consent for evidence of texting or talking. The driver's not too happy about it.
Unless they've seen something, they shouldn't be able to check it. We don't need any more privacy invaded.
That's my phone. It's not their ability to go through it. It'd be like having a camera in my car, and they could watch me while I'm driving.
Well, I think it's an invasion of privacy.
Supporters argue it's a tool that will give authorities leverage in prosecuting distracted driving cases. The American Civil Liberties Union calls it a constitutional challenge. Scott Pringle with drivers in Watchung, New Jersey.
Former South African President Nelson Mandela is in intensive care with a reoccurring lung infection. He's been hospitalized in serious but stable condition since last week. This is Mandela's fourth hospital stay since December. The 94-year-old has battled, of course, health issues since contracting tuberculosis. During nearly three decades, he spent in prison under South Africa's apartheid system. He became the nation's first black leader back in 1994. And the Chrysler Group will recall approximately 14,000 Dodge Dart vehicles due to a stalling issue. This is the third recall in recent days for the car company. According to a Chrysler spokesperson, an investigation by the company has now turned up 85 field reports of stalling complaints. The recall will only affect the 2013 Dodge Dart models equipped with a 1.4-liter engine and dual-clutch transmission. Officials say recalibrating powertrain software should decrease the issue. And the spokesperson also says Chrysler is unaware of any related injuries or accidents due to the issue. And here's some good news for a change coming out of our state of Michigan. A hospital, according to reporter Elisa Z, in our state, has been named among the best in the entire nation.
According to the U.S. News & World Report's 2013-2014 Best Children's Hospitals Rankings, Children's Hospital of Michigan is among the best in the country when it comes to pediatric specialties. The facility is nationally ranked in 7 of the 10 evaluated categories. Children's Hospital Chief Executive Officer Herman Gray says they're honored and humbled to have been recognized again as one of America's best hospitals for children. I'm Elisa Z.
And it is a Tuesday morning, and it's kind of confusing because I have to say morning, but it's really afternoon where I'm at. I'm in Rome, of course, and we are here for our pilgrimage, our pro-life pilgrimage, which is co-sponsored by Priests for Life, Ave Maria Radio, and the Footprints of God Ministries, which, of course, is run by Steve Ray, and also, of course, brought to you by our friends at Corporate Travel. So very excited to be here. Of course, I feel like Rome is quickly becoming my home away from home. It is my favorite place to be in the world, and we've got all kinds of things planned. We'll talk about that for a bit. When we come back, though, a unique interview with a young man who has quite an opportunity to spend time behind the scenes at the Vatican, actually living with the family of the head of the Swiss Guard. You know, all those guys in those funny hats that are charged with protecting the Pope? Yep. That's the ones we're talking about. Also coming up on the show, we're going to have a new author with us. Her name is Carol Parr. I met her actually at an event that I did several years ago in Wisconsin. I was speaking at a pro-life event there, and she has a new book out called Stories, and we'll find out more about that. Janet Miranda from Priests for Life and Silent No More, my co-host on The Catholic View, and also, of course, on this trip. She is going to be joining us live as well in studio to give us a quick update and to let you know what happened with our incredible meeting with the family of St. Gianna Brettimola. And then we will also be talking with Catholic speaker Matt Fraud about Father's Day. And then we'll get an update on the Catholic Medical Association. They're hoping that they can get more people to join, given all the pressing issues that are facing Catholics and other concerned Christians, and all of us, actually, right now with the culture of death. So good to be with you. Sunny in Rome, and I'll check the forecast in Michigan when we come back as well. And then we will also check in with a young man and tell us what it's like to be behind the scenes at the Vatican, up close and personal. John Hale Jr., he is a son of John Hale, who is the executive running the wonderful travel company that co-sponsors all of our trips with Ave Maria Radio. If you have a question, 877-573-7825. You're listening to Ave Maria Radio, and we're live from Rome. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and during our Town of Country and Dodge event, you can benefit from the biggest incentives of the year on new Jeeps, minivans, cars, and trucks, and certified pre-owned vehicles. In my opinion, running a professional and ethical business is just as important as good family values. Experience the difference for yourself only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on M36 in Pinckney, or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
On the evening of February 25th, 2013, Dr. Peter Kraft spoke to Sacred Heart Major Seminary students and guests about the new evangelism.
How shall we answer our question? What does the new evangelization need the most? Well, we first should define terms. It's a very useful and helpful thing to do, to define terms, because when you define your terms, you know what you're talking about. And when you don't know what you're talking about, well, you don't know what you're talking about. What is the new evangelization? It is not a new evangel. It is a newization. It's not a new gospel. It's the old gospel.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. Sacred Heart Major Seminary's auditorium is jammed. You won't want to miss Dr. Peter Graft at the seminary on the next Putting On the Mind of Christ. It's heard this and every Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEL, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. People are shocked to hear the gruesome details of what occurred in abortionist Kermit Gosnell's clinic. The untrained staff practicing medicine, including a 15-year-old. The expired medications and outdated equipment. The blood-stained blankets. The filthy conditions. The dead babies kept in the freezer and in jars. And the mistreatment, even to the point of death, of the women who came there. But none of this is new. The book Lyme 5 was published by Life Dynamics with the collaboration of Priests for Life and other groups in the mid-90s and documents hundreds of Gosnells. Abortionists are the losers of medicine. You can't practice vice virtuously. If you don't care about killing babies, you're not going to care about using expired medications. Find out more at priestsforlife.org. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Teresa Tamio, Ave Maria Radio, and we're live in Rome. Good to be with you on a Tuesday morning. It's about 8:18 on a Tuesday, about 2:18 here in Roma. We are along the Borgo Vittorio, which is right around the corner, actually, from the Vatican. Less than, well under half a mile from the Vatican. You just go up the street, turn left, and you're right in St. Peter's Square. It's a beautiful day here in Rome. It's sunny. And it's about 75, 80 degrees, and we are here with about 150 pilgrims from around the country. They're arriving today, and we have such a large group, we had to split them into two hotels, but it'll work out great. We've done this many times before. Steve Ray, of course, who's leading this pilgrimage along with corporate travel, is an expert at this. And it's a pro-life pilgrimage because the Holy Father is having a lot of pro-life events this week. There's actually a conference that's taking place all week long, and there are going to be many speaking events with various representatives from, for example, the Pontifical Council for the Family and the Vatican Academy for Life. And we actually met with some of those folks on Friday when we arrived. Myself, Janet Marana, and Father Frank Pavone got off the plane. And, of course, Father being the workhorse that he is, says, okay, girls, no rest for the weary. Boom, drop our clothes off, freshen up, and we head over to the various Vatican offices. But it was quite an honor. And, by the way, I forgot to mention at the top of the hour, if you go to my Facebook page, you will see my fan page a lot of really neat pictures. We took some pictures with the leaders of the various dicasteries, which was a lot of fun, and shook their hands and chatted, and we had a translator. I'm getting better at understanding and learning some Italian. I should have learned when I was younger because my father, bless his heart, tried to teach me, but it really is difficult, I think, to learn a language when you're, in your 50s. It's really difficult. The best time to learn is when you're a child. But anyway, so far, so good. The pilgrims arriving today, as I mentioned. I believe their flights were all on time. And then what they're going to be doing before they get back to the hotel, they're going to be having mass at one of the beautiful local churches here. And then they'll be going for the opening dinner, which will be at one of the hotels here, Jeffy Hotel, where most of the pilgrims are staying. And we'll have some talks, and we'll give them an update, and we'll have to get them to bed really early because they have a long day tomorrow if they want to go to the audience, the papal audience, of course, on Wednesday. We're leaving that up to them because it is so intense. Apparently, our new pope is so popular that they are packing people in as early, or people are lining up as early as 6 a.m. in the morning to get in line for security. And my understanding is it gets pretty crazy. So we're going to give the pilgrims a lay of the land and say, okay, here's your ticket. You do have a ticket to get in, and you can go if you want to. And really, obviously we'll have people there with them, but it's up to them if they want to go or if they want to wait till the weekend to see the Holy Father, because we will see him again, I believe, on Sunday. There's going to be a special mass, and we also have the candlelight vigil on Saturday. The other cool thing that we're doing this week is we're bringing in our own speakers to address the group. We've got Uju Ikiocho, who is just back from Nigeria after being involved in organizing some wonderful pro-life conferences there. We're also going to be hearing from Virginia Cota, and Virginia is actually very involved with the March for Life Rome, which just took place a few weeks ago, so she's going to be speaking to our group. And then we also have a number of other folks planned to speak to our group as well. So it's going to be an exciting week. We'll keep you up to date. And then we'll also be chatting about some of the experiences we've already had this weekend, including spending the day yesterday with the family of a saint, St. Gianna Beretta Mola. We did spend the day with her family, her two siblings, her sister and her brother, and also two of her children. So pretty exciting stuff, and Janet Moreno will be along in the National Hour to tell us all about that. If you have any questions for any of our guests, you can give us a call. The usual number, of course, 877-573-7825. Now, with further ado, there's a very handsome young man sitting next to me who's a dear friend of mine. I consider him my nephew because they're very close to his family. I know you go by Johnny, but they don't call you Junior, though, do they?
Some people do.
Some people do? Okay. Well, John Hale is the son of John Hale from Corporate Travel, and you probably have, I think, more stamps on your passport than most adults I know. How many foreign trips have you done so far?
Probably over 15.
Really? And you first started traveling when with your dad?
I believe I was around like 2 when we went to, I think, Great Britain.
Okay, because the first trip that we did together was 2004 and you were 5 years old.
Yes.
And now you're the ripe old age of?
14.
14. Okay, so you are here and you have a very unique opportunity. Tell us about it.
My dad knows the commandante, or the head of the Swiss Guards in the Vatican, and he arranged so that I could live with him for several weeks and practice my Italian. It's an awesome experience. I love it. Very blessed to be able to do something like this. And then his son, Adrian, who I believe is 13, is going to come to the States and do the same type of thing that I'm doing there, but with our family.
Okay, so what's it been like so far? Like, share some of the experiences.
They don't really speak a whole lot of English, so it's interesting, but my Italian, it's been coming along, actually. I kind of am surprising myself with how much I'm improving it.
So what are the day-to-day activities like for you, then? What are you doing?
Well, the first day that I got there, I was in Rome for about 3 hours, maybe not even, and they picked me up from the airport. The kids were in school. They go to a Swiss school, and I went to a papal audience in the Paul VI Hall, and I got to be in the press box, which was awesome. And that was Friday when I arrived in Rome, and then Saturday, we went to the seaside,
Oh, you did? You got to go to the beach?
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. Never been there.
So did
been
you take the train or did they drive out there?
No, we drove. Okay. I think it was about 40 minutes. The beach was in Fiumicino, kind of by the airport.
Yeah, right by the airport. Yeah. It's beautiful. Yeah. So you got to go in the ocean.
Yeah. So it was cold. It wasn't bad. It was warmer than Lake Huron.
So you actually, the Swiss Guard, they actually live on the Vatican property, right?
Yes. You go into the gates by the Borgo Pio entrance, and then you go, there's usually two or three guards standing at the entrance, and then you go into a door on the left, and there's a little alleyway with some offices on either side, and then there's you go up like four or five stairs, and there's another alleyway, and the left side is offices, like offices for the people that work in the Vatican, and then there's apartments for the families of some of the Swiss guards.
So when you first got there and you're seeing all this, now I know this is traveling isn't new for you. You've been to the Vatican before, but this has to be a really unique experience. I mean, because you're getting inside where only the super, super, like, official top people of the Vatican go, because this is what the Swiss Guard does. They protect the Pope.
It was, I can't even, like, describe. It was just so cool. It's because not very many people get to do this, so it was awesome. I mean, you get to see so many so many, like, behind-the-scenes things that normally...
Can you describe one scene for us?
Well, it was funny because when the president of Italy came to Rome on Saturday, I believe, the apartment where I'm staying is literally across the street, like, not, like, maybe a half of a street away. It's kind of in the back corner of one of the alleys right off the Borgo Pio entrance. Mm-hmm. And, we were watching the TV because the father of the family that I'm staying with, he was leading the Swiss Guards, and you could almost, like, what you were hearing on TV, you could almost, because it was right across the street, so there would be some stuff that
so
you could
like
hear.
So it's like simultaneous, right?
Yeah.
You're seeing it on TV,
and
it's actually happening.
And it's actually happening live.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, have you seen the Pope?
Twice.
Besides the event at Paul VI Hall.
At the Paul VI Hall, that was the first day. And then Sunday, we walked to Villa Borghese. But then before that, it was a little bit rainy. It was not bad, but there was some rain. And I saw him. We were in the Vatican in the St. Peter's Square, and I saw him up in the window of the papal apartment.
Neat. So, do you know if you're going to be able to go to the audience tomorrow, or what would your day include, or any time you'll be able to see the Holy Father, maybe a little bit more up close and personal? Give us the inside scoop. Inquiring minds want to know. Yes. No. Look. Now you're looking. You're looking like one of those sources who does not want to comment, like I always get when I used to be in the secular media. But you don't know yet, or what?
I don't know yet. Honestly, I don't.
Okay.
I would hope.
You're not holding on to me here, are you, Johnny? That you got some special meeting with the Pope? Do you not tell me about?
No.
Okay. All right. Just checking.
Okay.
So, in terms of your life right now and your faith is a big part of your family. You come from a very strong Catholic family, and mm-hmm. corporate travel is all about pilgrimage and helping mm-hmm. people embrace their faith.
Yes.
What has this done for you? Even though, as I said, you've been here before, in terms of what you're seeing as a Catholic young man, what does this mean to you? Do you think?
Just kind of like what I've been learning in school. It kind of reaffirms that it's not. I mean. I always believed it, but it's cool to, like, you read about St. Peter's Square and see it in, you know, religion textbooks, and then you actually go here and it's like, wow, I feel like I was just there last month in school mm-hmm. reading about it, but now it's actually happening.
Does it make you proud to be Catholic?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Are you learning more, you think, about your faith or about the structure of the church or the history of the church being here?
Yeah, definitely. And about, like, the saints, because there's a lot of popes and saints buried within the Vatican even.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say if parents are thinking and praying about bringing their son or daughter on a pilgrimage? What would your advice be?
If you're able to, I definitely wouldn't even think about it. You just for sure go.
How have the other trips that you've taken with your family? I know you have a unique vantage for it because your father is in the travel business, so it's a little bit different. But
mm-hmm.
How has that expanded your own horizons in terms of what you want to do when you grow up?
Personally, I want to be an airline pilot because aviation has always interested me, because when we travel, I love the sights and all the history, but there was something about aviation that always just kind of intrigued me. And I think with that, I'll be able to continue traveling and stay in the business, because I know when you're a pilot, you can come to your when you're on duty, you can it's called standby, and they'll just call you up for a flight, and you fly to Rome, and then you stay there for a day, and maybe go to the Vatican or go to a, like some sort of a special mass or see a papal audience, and fly home, and then you maybe go to the Holy Land or New York, and I just love that.
You love to be able to be traveling. I know, I love traveling as well. How do you think you'll handle the jet lag? Because you're 14 now, but when you're in your 50s, Buster, it's going to be a little different. are you okay with the overseas travel and whatnot? What helps you get through it? Because it's rough that first day when you come over.
It is. I've traveled quite a bit, so I'm a little bit, I don't know, maybe used to it, but lots of sleeping pills.
Well, I think you'll make but prescribed ones that are safe, right?
Sure.
Like over the counter. Okay. I think you're in a very unique position, but at the same time, you really love this, don't you? You really love traveling.
Very much.
Yeah. Okay. And did you have a good time when you were talking to the pilot on our flight?
Yeah, that was fun, yeah.
He put you in the cockpit, and there you were.
Yeah.
I think I have a picture of you on my Facebook page, if I remember if they posted it or not. But okay, now I have one last question. This is a favor.
Mm-hmm.
How is your Italian? You're learning Italian?
Yes.
Is it getting better?
Sì, mio italiano così così.
Will you teach me?
Sure.
Because you're part Italian. Your mother is Italian.
Yeah, up near Venice.
Yeah, so in the north. And then your family's coming in 3 weeks, right?
Yes. My mom, sister, and grandparents, I believe, fly in the 26th. And then the rest of my family, including some of my cousins, flies in the 27th.
And you're staying with them for how long?
Till the 16th of July.
How nice. Well, and you're going to be doing a lot of different things. You're going to be going down south. You're going to be going to the Amalfi Coast and coming to Rome. And I think your dad told me you're going to be in Milan and then Venice as well, right? And then up to the Cuomo region, right?
Yeah, up near Cuomo and Friuli, which is where my family's from, which is up near Venice.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do Venice up there.
Okay. Well, good. Well, thank you. And we'll see you a little bit later. Really appreciate your accompanying me on the flight. I know I was supposed to accompany you, but I kind of felt like you were taking care of me. So it's great to be with you, and you come from a wonderful family, whom we love very much at Ave Maria Radio. And thanks for sharing. And, you know, please, if you meet the Holy Father, tell him I said hi.
Okay.
Okay, all right.
We'll do.
Johnny Hale, or John Hale Jr., of course, he is the son of John Hale and Kristen Hale. And they, of course, are with Corporate Travel, the wonderful travel agency that works so closely with us here at Ave Maria Radio. It is about, I think if my watch is correct, it's about 8:34. It's a Tuesday, and we are live in Rome. And up next, we're going to talk to an author about a brand new book. Her name is Carol Power, and she has a book called Stories. And apparently, it's a very interesting book about life decisions and wondering whether we may have made the right decision. Did we make right choices, and how are those choices decided upon, and how do we come to decisions in our life? Interesting stuff. Stay tuned. We'll be right back live from Rome.
What makes Advanced Dentistry Center unique? While all dentists preach comfort, Dr. Mahdi uses laser technology with many of his patients. The laser's precise work allows for faster healing on periodontal pockets and root canals while diminishing the risk for bacteria to linger, giving you and your family the results you want. Here's Dr. Mahdi.
Using laser for treating gum disease will reduce your chance of needing further treatment, like advanced gum surgeries, and also will increase your chance of saving your teeth for the rest of your life.
And Advanced Dentistry Center is one of the few places in the state that has it. Laser can also fix most cavities without a local anesthetic or shot. Learn about their services and get testimonials at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Located at 13 Mile and Telegraph. That's AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Or call 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. Advanced Dentistry Center is a general practice who provides the most up-to-date treatments to help you look and feel your best.
One morning while rushing to work, I made a quick stop at a coffee shop with negative thoughts about work rushing through my mind. I was stressed. As I parked, I saw a young girl sitting outside sipping coffee. She looked at me and smiled. As I saw her bright face, the beat of my heart resumed to its normal rhythm. I felt a sense of peace. I realized that we don't have to utter a word to communicate a message of love and kindness. Sometimes we just need to smile. Research actually shows that a smile can relieve stress and make you feel happier. Smiling also is very calming, and not just to the person smiling, but to those who see it. Most of our communication is nonverbal. A smile enables you to communicate to another person without having to say a word. It costs nothing, it just takes a minute. The next time you see a stranger who might be having a bad day, send them a message of kindness by simply smiling. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo.
Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. People are shocked to hear the gruesome details of what occurred in abortionist Kermit Gosnell's clinic. The untrained staff practicing medicine, including a 15-year-old. The expired medications and outdated equipment, the blood-stained blankets, the filthy conditions, the dead babies kept in the freezer and in jars, and the mistreatment, even to the point of death, of the women who came there. But none of this is new. The book Lyme 5 was published by Life Dynamics with the collaboration of Priests for Life and other groups in the mid-90s, and documents hundreds of Gosnells. Abortionists are the losers of medicine. You can't practice vice virtuously. If you don't care about killing babies, you're not going to care about using expired medications. Find out more at priestsforlife.org. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Alabama steps up to support women's health.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Sometimes abortion advocates argue that pro-lifers are part of a war on women, but Alabama's Governor Robert Bentley is helping prove them wrong. Recently, he signed the Women's Health and Safety Act, which raises the safety requirements for abortion clinics to operate. The law's sponsor, Mary Sue McClurkin, pointed out, for far too long, Alabama has had more health regulations in place to protect your cat or dog at a vet clinic than it does for a woman receiving an abortion. Not surprisingly, Planned Parenthood has vowed to legally challenge the new safety requirements.
This is Marjorie Gannon-Seltzer, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back. It's Catholic Connection. It's Teresa Tomeo, Ave Maria Radio, avemariaradio.net. Broadcasting live from Rome, Italy. Arrived on Friday, and yesterday we were in Milan with the family of St. Gianna Barettamolo, which is why I wasn't on the air yesterday. We will be on the air the rest of the week here through Friday. God willing, the creek don't rise and the equipment continues to work correctly as it has so far today. Thanks be to God. And again, I want to thank Corporate Travel, Steve Ray and his Footprints of God Pilgrimage Company, and also my own company, Teresa Tomeo Communications. And I think I mentioned Corporate Travel already, but the three of us pooled our resources and decided to invest in a piece of equipment that will allow me to go live from Rome at locations as long as there is a hardline internet connection. And the reason we did that is because we want to bring these places to you and to let you know what it's like to be on a pilgrimage and to tell you what's happening in and around the church and to share the experiences live with the people who are walking in the footsteps of the Lord and the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And so today the pilgrims are actually just arriving. They should be getting into the hotel, and hopefully everyone got their luggage and they can take a quick shower. And then right away we're going to head them over to one of the local churches here for Mass with Father Frank Pavone, who's our spiritual director on this trip. And then we will meet up with them at one of our hotels. There's such a large group that we have to stay in two hotels. And so we've got the opening dinner tonight at one of the hotels in Rome. And then we'll be chatting with them and kind of giving them the lay of the land, what to expect. And then Janet and I are going to be doing a funny segment on how to look like a tourist. If you want to look like a tourist, show up for dinner at 5:30 or 6 o'clock, which is a normal American time. But here in Rome, they don't eat their cena or their last meal of the day, their dinner, until usually early would be 8:30. Most of them eat around 9 o'clock. And if you walk in any of the neighborhoods, especially the Trastevere neighborhood, which is one of the most popular areas in Rome, you'll see people eating a full meal. Usually, I wouldn't say a full meal, probably a pasta dish and splitting a pizza. But that's at 10, 11 o'clock at night. Easily. That's just when it starts to get busy. So one way to look like a tourist is to show up for dinner at 6. The other way to look like a tourist is to order a cappuccino after midday. Cappuccino is for the morning, espresso after that. Or ask for butter. And don't use the olive oil on the table. And the numero uno thing that will make you look like the biggest tourist in the world is cutting your pasta. However, that can also get you arrested by the Polizia or the Carabinieri, depending on which law enforcement agency is closest to your table. So, just a few little tips if you ever plan on coming to Italy. Keep that in mind if you don't want to look like a tourist. Stay away from those things. And it's nice to chat with Carol again. Carol and I met. Carol, how many years ago was it?
I believe it was 2004 when we met. I was pregnant with Monica, and you were speaking at our pregnancy helpline banquet.
I knew it was a pro-life event, but I couldn't remember which one. But I can't believe it was 9 years ago already. Wow, that went by fast.
Very fast.
Yeah. All right, so tell us about your book. I've been hearing a lot of good things about it. The title of it is Stories, is that correct?
Yes, it's Stories. I wrote it in about a year. The whole premise is Catherine Zimmer dies, and she dies with one little deception on her soul, and it comes back to haunt her when she has to face her final judgment.
What are people saying about the book? My understanding is that it's causing a lot of people to reflect on their own choices that they've made during life.
It is. That seems to be a very common response I'm getting from people. One woman even said to me, you know, there's been something I've been wanting to do, but I keep putting it off, but your book has really, you know, forced me to re-look at that or revisit that. And so that seems to be a very common response I'm getting from people.
Okay, without giving the whole book away, because obviously we want people to purchase the book, but can you tell us a little bit more about the character and the character development? What were you thinking about? Where did the idea come from to sit down and write a book like this?
Sure. Well, Catherine Zimmer, the main character, is a lot like me. I put off writing this book, or put off writing many books. And so the whole idea of how a talent that God has given me, if I put it aside, does that impact other people? And so that was one thing that really fueled this book. Also, because it takes place and she meets a dictator, she meets an atheistic movie director and a nurse, I wanted to see how her life impacted someone that she would think that she'd have nothing in common with these people. And so that's sort of the impetus behind the book.
Mm-hmm. And how long did it take you to write it?
The book took about a year to write, and then about another half year to get it published.
And it's published by whom?
Author House.
Okay, and how do we get the book?
It's available at Amazon.com and Barnes and Noble. And it's just so they get the spelling of my last name is P-A-U-R. So it's the book is under C.L. Power.
Okay, all right, we're going to take a quick break. And if anyone has a question for Carol, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. It's a Tuesday morning, and we're live from Rome. It's actually about 2:45 here on a sunny Tuesday from Roma, right down the street from the Vatican. We are broadcasting from the EWTN headquarters, which is literally around the corner from St. Peter's Square, very close to the Holy Father. He'll be coming by this afternoon for... No, just kidding. Wouldn't that be nice? Working on it, though, I have to tell you. Anyway, good to talk to you, and just glad everything is working properly with our new equipment. This is the first time using it. We had Father Frank pray over it this morning to make sure that everything would go accordingly. And so far, so good. Again, if you have a question for our guest, Carol Power, 877-573-7825. The book is Stories, and as she said, it's available at Amazon.com. We'll be right back on a Tuesday on Ave Maria Radio, live from Rome. Stay tuned.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is made possible in part by our day sponsor, to celebrate the birthday of Father John Ricardo. Father John continues to have a significant impact on the Our Lady of Good Counsel community. May God bless you, Father, on this special day. From Bob and Kathy Adsit. You can be a day sponsor, too. Call toll-free 1-877-288-1077 and say, I want to be a day sponsor.
The Servants of Jesus of the Divine Mercy have moved to the new Divine Mercy Center in Clinton Township. They are always in need of volunteers. If you are interested in helping even just one day per month, visit sjdivinemercy.org. Help is needed for greeting, the gift store, cleaning, cutting grass, craft making, event planning, and much more. This message is brought to you by Office Express. Let's all support each other. OfficeExpressNow.com.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. Teens and parents are encouraged to attend Masculinity and Femininity, Difference and Gift, Tuesday, June 18th at Old St. Pat's in Ann Arbor. Sister Jane Dominic Laurel, OP, will present the Catholic understanding of how God made us, which has become confused in today's media and society. For further details, call 810-923-6576. Celebrate the 40th anniversary of Saline Area Players at their anniversary gala, Saturday, June 22nd. Put on your party clothes and relive some memorable moments from South Pacific, Annie, My Fair Lady, and more. Tickets are $10 and includes an hors d'oeuvre reception following the show. For further details, call 734-355-8898. You can find many more events and enter your own events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077. Catholic Radio is yours to keep and to grow.
One Father's Story.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Even though fathers typically have no legal say in the abortion of their unborn child, many face guilt even years after an abortion. One father expressed his feelings like this. It has been 20 years since my ex-wife and I aborted our first child. I pray every day for forgiveness. Long after the abortion was carried out, the emotional fallout continues, at least for me. I still occasionally have sleepless nights, thinking about what we did and why. It took being the father of two great kids to make me realize that life is truly a gift.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
It's a Tuesday morning. It's June 11th, 2013. It's good to be with you. Thanks to EW10 for their help. We begin on the air here in Rome, their headquarters, which is, as I mentioned earlier, right on the corner from the Vatican. We're on a street called the Borgo Vittorio, which is right next to the Borgo Pio. The Borgo Pio is one of the main streets where there are some wonderful religious goods shops, and that literally is, again, a stone's throw from St. Peter's Square. So if you've ever been to Rome, you're probably familiar with the Borgo Pio, and obviously you're familiar with St. Peter's Square. Just an interesting side note before we get back to our guest this morning, C.L. Power, who's the author of a brand-new book called Stories, and she also has a sequel coming out very soon called Waves, and we'll get back to Carol in a second. But getting some more information after being here now for a few days, and I was here in April, which was shortly after, of course, our new Holy Father was elected to the seat of Peter. And the audiences, and Joan's been mentioning this, if you've been, you know, listening on Wednesdays, and Joan usually joins us for the audience, she was telling us how crowded, how extremely packed the audiences are. Now, when Steve Ray came to our apartment this morning with Janet before they headed to the airport to meet the pilgrims, Steve was telling me that it's crazy. I mean, he is so popular that the audiences are even larger than the audiences that were garnered by John Paul II and Pope Benedict. And both those audiences, those popes, I should say, when they were bringing people in for the audiences, they were in record numbers. And my understanding is that people are lining up as early as I don't know, 6:30, 7 in the morning, and normally the audience doesn't get started till about 10 or 10:30, and so you're waiting for a couple of hours in order to get a spot inside St. Peter's Square. But that's not all. Now, apparently this is also spilling out into the Italian property, which goes beyond St. Peter's Square and, of course, along the Via della Conciliazione, which is that main long avenue leading up to St. Peter's from the Tiber. Very crowded. People are just waiting for hours. The Holy Father also does some things differently, and he spends a lot of time going in and out of the crowds, and usually about a good 20, 30 minutes, making sure he hits every section of the main area of St. Peter's Square, which would be from the obelisk, of course, right toward the church. So really interesting, and we will give you an update on how it goes. The pilgrims will be going tomorrow if they so choose. They can stay back if they're a little tired, and if some of them don't have a good time or, you know, a easy time handling crowds, will advise that they stay back. But we'll also have another opportunity later this week to see the Holy Father, as we're going to be having a special mass for this pro-life pilgrimage and the pro-life events that are going on in Rome. So we'll keep you posted and let you know how it goes, and maybe we'll even grab a pilgrim or two and bring them here to the EWTN studios to talk about their experience so far in Rome. Getting back to our guest, Carol. I call her Carol. That's how I know her. But you can find her online by her author name, actually, which is C.L. Power, and she'll give us the exact web page and the address you can find the book stories. Now, Carol, I forgot to ask you about the fact that you do have a sequel coming up. Now, when is that coming out?
Well, I have 12 chapters written, so it really depends when the book is finished. I'm hoping within the next year it will be coming out.
Okay, so can you give us a little tease about the sequel?
Yeah, Waves is basically, for lack of a better word, Catherine's Purgatory. I don't use that term per se, because there are a lot of people that are non-Catholic that are reading this. But Catherine has to see the effects completely and live the effects of her decisions she made here on life.
Now, in terms of writing this, you said in the beginning of the interview earlier, before the break, that she's a lot like you. So is this sort of a spiritual catharsis for yourself as you're putting this book together and, of course, the sequel?
Indeed, it was. I have gone back and forth with writing, trying to write, lots of disappointment. But then I started writing for our Sunday Visitor. They have been very kind and caring some of my work. And so that really helped catapult my writing and feel confident in my skill as a writer. And then I've been taking screenwriting classes, so I've already written a screenplay. But this book, for some reason, it just seemed to be the catalyst to really push me forward with my writing.
Okay, so stories then is meant to do what? To help us reflect, to take our faith more seriously, both? What do you think?
A little bit of everything. One theme that comes through, I hope, is mercy. I think many times, even though we know Jesus died for all of us, we can all be, quote-unquote, saved if we choose his salvation. But oftentimes in our mind we think, well, that person, I'm not sure. I mean, maybe we don't think that consciously. So I wanted to show that someone like a dictator who can be very evil, and this man was evil, can actually have a conversion. And so it's more than just, you know, talking about Catherine and her sin of omission. It's also about looking at mercy. And Ursula, she's one of the other main characters. I think that's a really strong pro-life message. She ends up being paralyzed, and so we get we get to see what she's thinking about. She tells her story when she's dead, but oftentimes we look at people who can't talk or who are severely disabled, and we put them in a category. And Ursula shows us that that's not true, that she has thoughts and dreams and wishes like, you know, all the rest of us.
So there were several themes or ideas kind of running through the book then.
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was hard in one way to try to
pull it all together.
But why did you choose fiction versus... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's all. I didn't really have anything to add.
I was just going to say, why fiction versus a nonfiction book? I'd just like to ask writers, because I haven't written any fiction yet, except for short stories I wrote in college and high school, but all my books that have been published have been nonfiction. Faith-based, but nonfiction. So I just like, what motivates you to write fiction?
Well, I feel this book appeals to many different types of readers and different types of faiths. I thought if I wrote nonfiction, it would be sort of a narrow audience. But I've had people who are non-believers. I've had people from different religions actually read this book, and they really were able to pull something out of it. And so I felt fiction was a way of, drawing a larger crowd and a larger audience through these themes that I've been talking about, mercy and forgiveness.
So where do you go from here, you think? You have stories, you have waves, and then what's next? Will you continue this, or will there be another series of books that you're going to do?
I do have a couple other books that I've been writing and working on for years. One of the books is called No Blood on the Door. That's kind of a working title. The theme behind that is, you and I know that we live in a culture that doesn't respect life. This book is looking at what happens when no children are born, and there's a part in the book that, all pregnancy, everything stops, and then I look at what are the consequences, years and years of not having children born. So that's one of my books. Mm-hmm.
Well, Carol, thanks. I'm glad we could finally connect and appreciate your patience and bring you on. And congratulations on not only Stories but Waves. I hope it's a big success, both books. And you can find Carol at clpower.com, and that's P-A-U-R.com, C-L-P-A-U-R.com, for her brand-new book, Stories, and soon the sequel entitled Waves. Up next, more from Rome. Stay tuned as we go live from the Eternal City.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506. The preceding hour of Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo is brought to you by Huron Valley Catholic School at huronvalleycatholicschool.org.
If you're looking for a great Catholic school with Christ at the center and a strong academic program, I encourage you to consider Huron Valley Catholic School. They offer pre-K through 8th grade and have been in the area for almost 30 years. They've adopted the philosophy of St. John Bosco, that the way to the mind is through the heart. You can learn more by visiting HuronValleyCatholicSchool.org.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
Faith, family, and the culture of life. It's Family Man with Catholic therapist Dr. Gregory Popchak.
When I ask clients what they want to gain from their therapy, their number one desire that they express is, I just want to be happy. Almost everyone would like to be happier than they are. Fortunately, new research in the field of positive psychology reveals